Please be seated. In churches throughout our land, there are services similar to this one being held at this time of year. Carol services generally, and especially carols by candlelight, are usually some of the best attended events, and we do love them. We might well ask ourselves why that is so. I suggest that there are three reasons we find this service so attractive. First, it is traditional, and however modern we like to think we are, there is still that within us that needs something that doesn't change with the latest fad or fashion. Second, we like to sing carols that we know well. We might tolerate the odd one that is unfamiliar, but by and large, we insist on having the old favourites year after year. Third, although it can't compete with electric lights for efficiency, there is something about candlelight that is attractive and reminiscent of days gone by, in which we imagine that life was gentler. Not so. Did you watch Wolf Hall on television? Of course, singing carols is a good way of reminding ourselves of the message of Christmas. And we have carols that speak of all the different elements of the story. The angel Gabriel's visit to Mary to announce that she is to have a baby and must call him Jesus. The baby Jesus laid in a manger in Bethlehem. The shepherds who were the first to be told of the birth and to whom the angel choir sang. The wise men from the east bringing gold, frankincense and myrrh. Yes, we know the story, and we love to hear it retold every year. However, we must not forget that these events were only part of the big picture. Sometimes this service is called Nine Lessons and Carols, and this evening we have heard the nine traditional lessons from the scriptures. Obviously, most of these were directly telling us of the events which we call the Christmas story. However, the first one consisted of a selection of scriptures from the Old Testament which showed that the coming of Jesus was not an accident or a last-minute idea, but that his coming into this world was a central part of God's plan for salvation of mankind, which had fallen into sin and was destined for judgment and condemnation. Also, the last reading, which we have just heard from John's Gospel, told us the fact that although he came into this world, as we all do, as a helpless baby, Jesus is, in fact, the eternal Word of God himself. Emmanuel, God with us. Earlier this evening, we had the lighting of the Advent candles. As I'm sure you know, Advent means coming. But the church does not only think about Jesus' coming at Christmas, but also about his second coming, when he will return, not as a child, but as the King and Judge. Of course, when he came to earth, Jesus didn't remain a baby, but grew up to be a man who became a preacher and teacher and miracle worker, attracting many disciples. These included Peter, the fisherman, who was the first to recognize Jesus as the Christ, the Messiah. Jesus told Peter that this revelation had come to him from God the Father, and not from human logic. He then went on to teach the disciples that he must suffer and die, but that he would be raised back to life after 3 days. The disciples didn't take this in at the time, but we now know that Jesus' life as a man on earth culminated in his death on the cross at Calvary, when he paid the penalty for mankind's sin. Then, triumphantly, he rose from the tomb, and before his ascension back to heaven, he commissioned the disciples to carry on his work of proclaiming the kingdom of God under the guidance and power of the Holy Spirit, whom he promised, and who did indeed come upon them at the Feast of Pentecost. While here on earth, Jesus constantly taught, and his teaching, often by means of unforgettable stories we know as parables, included many memorable sayings. One of these I would like to draw your attention to. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." It is clearly true that we need light to avoid walking in darkness. And there is much darkness in our troubled world. We don't need to search for evil. It is all around us. We desperately need the light of understanding and truth to find solutions to the many conflicts and deep-seated problems of our world, our own nation, even our national church. Jesus tells us that he is the source of the light we need. I mentioned earlier that Jesus will come as king and judge. When I was a young boy, a few years ago, I thought that God was up there watching me and making note of all my naughtiness, and that I had better quickly pray for forgiveness or else. But that childish idea of God is not how it is. Yes, God is holy and will judge evil, which cannot enter his presence. But listen to John's gospel. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. This then is the message of Christmas. God loves you, and he invites you to believe and trust in his only Son, Jesus, whom he sent to redeem the world. And as you come to Jesus and commit your life to him, you will no longer walk in fear and darkness, but enjoy the light of eternal life, which starts now, not when you die. Amen. Thank you.